Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in a series called Called Out, where we're going through the book of Acts, which is one of the books of the Bible in the New Testament. So it's a continuation of the book of Luke, which follows up what happens in the early church after Jesus ascends to heaven. So we're actually in chapter 3 today. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. We'll be reading from the English Standard Version. We'll have it up on the screen as well. But follow me in your Bible, because I sense the Holy Spirit may want to highlight some things in the scripture that you may want to underline or highlight. If you haven't, don't believe in highlighting your Bible, please find that verse that says don't highlight your Bible and underline that verse that says that. And if you have a friend's Bible, maybe they need some help, so underline it for them. But we'll start from the first verse. It says here, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, just like Rachel said, jumping up, leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. The title of my message today is The Bold and the Beautiful. The Bold and the Beautiful. We'll get to why it's called that in a moment. But how many of you know this is a different Peter from the Peter we saw in the in the Gospels? This is an empowered, bold Peter. And John is walking in some boldness too. And so we read again, we'll dissect the scripture and just go through it. I think the Bible, as I always say, the Bible preaches best itself when we just give it leverage to preach itself. It doesn't need much help. So Acts 3 verse 1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now the clock in Israelite times runs different to the clock that we have. The ninth hour represents actually around 3 p.m. because the start of the day is actually around sunrise, which is 6 a.m. So the ninth hour would be 3 p.m. according to the mathematics that are running in my brain right now. Hopefully they are right. Somebody can correct me. So it's around 3 p.m. So it's in the mid-afternoon. And this man who was lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Some of your versions, the more modernized versions, would say that to ask offerings or donations at the temple. So this man who was lame from birth, picture this. This man has never known what it's like to walk. This man has never known what it's like to have the strength in his legs to be able to stand, let alone walk. He's never known that. From birth, he's been lame. And it's all he's known. It's all he's known is to wake up every morning, be carried to the temple gate and ask for alms or ask for offerings, ask for help. It's all that he's known. Now we're going to discover here the truth of the matter, which is that God has a lot more that he wants to give us than alms. But are we ready to receive what he has for us? This man, much like, for those of you who are familiar, in 2 Samuel, there's a guy by the name of Mephibosheth, who was a descendant of Jonathan, right, and Saul. And he was a son, but he was lame. David wanted to help him out, but he kind of refused the help because he was happy in his situation of being lame. God wants to take us out of the lameness. I'm not talking about the modern day vernacular where we see something that's not very good and we go, "Oh, that's so lame." Like when I watch I was sitting there with Nazareth, my eldest daughter, last week, and we were watching this cartoon that my youngest daughter, Jordan, was enjoying because she's five. But my daughter, Nazareth, is about to turn 10. And how many of you know that there are things that a 10-year-old finds lame that a 5-year-old finds exciting? She's like, that's so lame. Lame means that it limps. It doesn't have power, right? And a lot of us prefer to stay lame. We embrace a poverty mindset because we prefer to just be lame. God wants to rescue you out of your lameness, but it's a matter of us understanding that firstly, we're in a position of lameness, and that God wants to take us out of that lameness into a place where we are empowered to walk out in the destiny that God has for us. There's two issues here. The first one is that we've got to recognize, firstly, that we are lame. Let's go back to understanding of not just lame in terms of being weak physically or being weak financially, but how about being completely sinful in nature from the moment that we were born? We are lame from birth in sin. And that Christ, through his sacrifice, meets us at the gate called beautiful and enables us to enter in because of the price that he has paid. Silver and gold, he has none, but what he has, he gives to us. He freely gives it to us. But it's recognizing that we're lame without Jesus. It's not Jesus is going to help me to kind of figure out what I already bring to him. And in fact, it's not like we bring this to him and then he makes it better. No, he wants that to not to be better. He wants that to be deader, in order that it may be resurrected in the power of Jesus. You don't resurrect things that are half alive. You recognize that you have been in your spirit lame from birth. But you got to understand that God's got something much greater for you than just alms. See, one thing we need to embrace here at Every Nation Brisbane is definitely not the handout mentality. Now, there's a place for it, right? There's a place for people that need immediate help. But God would prefer to take you out of your situation where you can be positioned to help others. It's not just getting a quick fix. It's getting a fix that will last forever so you can help to fix others, to be a blessing, to be like Peter and John, empowered with the boldness of the Holy Spirit to help meet people at the gate called beautiful and enable them to walk through that gate, the gate of their beautiful destiny in Christ. God wants to give you a lot more than just alms. He doesn't want to give you a hand out. He wants to give you a hand up. So we've got to understand that. Verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. Now there's two things I want to address here. And this is specifically for those of you in this room that call yourselves followers of Christ, call yourselves Christian. So many of us walk towards temples without addressing those at the gate. We think, man, I'm just, you know, and there's power in us coming together and to worship like this. But if we aren't empowered in a setting like this to go out and change the gates of our city and miss those who are seated at the gates called beautiful, you got to understand that Jerusalem is a small town at that particular time that was walled. And it was in order to come into the town at that time, you had to go through gates. And one of these gates was called beautiful. And it was a common path that people would walk back and forth. And they would see this man who was lame from birth. How many of you know that there were so many opportunities of the thousands of people trying to go past to and from the temple to worship an omnipotent God who's powerful, who has authority to heal the sick, and see this man lying here and not do anything, even not look at him. But Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, fixes his gaze on this man. How many people have we passed by on our way to Christian activity when they're broken and when they're wounded in need of the help of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to see them broken out of their lameness? I'm reminded of the story in Luke 10 where Jesus tells the story to the teacher of the law when he asks, who is my neighbor? Many of you remember this story. It's when Jesus Christ begins to tell this teacher of the law that there was once a man who was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and then he was beaten up and laid on the ground, and he was left for dead. A priest, a professional man of God, walks by, sees him, and walks on the other side of the road. A Levite does the same, sees him, walks by on the other side of the road, but it's a Samaritan, it's a half-caste who comes by on his animal, gets off his animal, his high horse, and rescues this man, brings him up onto his animal, takes him to the inn, and then helps him to get his healing, helps him to get out of his lame state. brings him to the inn. And many of you have heard me preach from this scripture before in Luke 10, that the inn is this. This is the church where broken people are brought. And Jesus brings the broken into a place like this in order to see them out of their lameness. But so many of us are like priests and Levites walking on the other side of Brisbane, not acknowledging the broken in this city. And I'm not just talking about the poor. I'm talking about those who are far from God. It can be the people out here that are facing crises in terms of relational situations, abusive situations, addictions. But it can also be those who have a lot more power and authority, but just have bowed to the idols of greed and just fixated on the things of this world. They're both broken and they're both on the same side of the road. And we as the church need to be able to recognize that there is a fixation of our gaze, that we need to see these broken people in the state that God wants them to be in. Think about this for a moment. Think about the day before God came and found you. Watch my phrasing, God came and found you. You didn't find God, God found you. In fact, he was there the whole time. All you needed to do was turn around. He found you in your situation. You were broken. I don't know whether you realize that every single one of us was broken, was wounded, and God found us at the gate called Beautiful. And he may have used somebody, he may have used a family member. Some of you may have had praying mothers and grandmothers. How many of you had some of those praying for you? I definitely have a praying mother. Many of you have met my mother. She used to ruin my nightlife. Because we're sinners saved by grace. I'd say, I'm going to a youth gathering and I'm just going to sleep over. There was no youth gathering. We were going out all night clubbing, man. And my mom would say, okay, son, go as a Christian. Man, I'm telling you, young people, it ruined my sin, man. I'll be walking up to some girl in the club. And so, how you doing? You dropped something? What did I drop? A conversation, let's pick it up right here. Like, I'm just trying these terrible lines, man. Notes. Don't take notes. They don't work. They don't work. Your feet must be tired because you've been running through my mind all night long. Just like terrible lines. But like every time I try to get close to some girl, it would be like, go as a Christian. Like, stuffing up my sin, man. But it's because I had a praying mother who stood with me at the gate called Beautiful and recognized, no, I'm going to continue to intercede for my son and pray for my son that he will fulfill his destiny. He's been called to be a man of God. He's been called to walk out in the destiny that you have for him, and I will not, not on my watch. And we need to have that same sort of attitude towards Brisbane. Not on my watch. Am I going to let these people sit at the gate called Beautiful on my way to the temple? I'm coming to worship. Yes, we come to worship. The power of what happens here is to equip us for what happens out there. That's the reason why we gather. God wants us to fix our gaze upon them. But he also calls us to tell them and prophesy to them and tell the people that are broken in the city to look at us. John says to him, look at me. What, is there something special about John? Look at me. Remember, I'm the one who wrote in the book of John that I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves, so you need to look at me. No, that's not the reason why he said, look at me. What was the reason? It's because as he looked upon him, he could see Christ. Let me ask you, Christian, for the Christians that are in here, can people see Jesus in you when they look at you? Can they see Jesus in you? And I'm not talking about right now because it's easy for us to look like Jesus when we're in church, but I'm talking about when you're by yourself or when you're around your friends that don't know Christ. Can they see Jesus in you? Can they hear Jesus in the way that you talk? I'm not just talking about using colorful words, but even the way you use those words. You know, James 3 talks about using your tongue in the way that a spring cannot have salt water and fresh water come out of it at the same time. So the same tongue that we would sing, oh, come to the altar, would be the same tongue on Monday that we say, oh man, can you believe what she said? Oh my gosh. What was she wearing? What was she thinking? You know, start gossiping. Start backbiting. Start talking bad with that same tongue. Can people hear Jesus when they hear you talk? Can people see Jesus? And what's bad? It's not even actions that are contrary to the actions of Jesus. It's the lack thereof sometimes. Sometimes we don't even act at all. And we think that moralism and moral activity can guise somewhat of a holiness. No, it's not about just the morality of it. It's about you advancing the kingdom of God as well with what you do do. Christianity is not just about what you don't do. It's about what you do do. What do you do in the name of Christ?
You know, that's, I don't want to be a Christian, you know. There's a whole bunch of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't put that in your mouth, don't say that, don't go here on a Sunday, don't swim here, don't, you know, oh, I don't like it, mate. It's just so restrictive, mate.
And Christianity, at least the way the media portrays it, popularizes what we're not about, what we pick it for. And there's a place for having convictions. There's a place for standing firm on biblical values, but there's also a place for us to love on those who do not know Christ. There's a place for us to take action and not let the city go to hell on our watch. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit idly by, or are we just going to keep walking to the temple, not acknowledging that there are people broken that are right by our side? In your workplace, there are people that do not know this Christ that has rescued us. And yet we're still willing to just walk by them as long as we're on our way to Christian activity, as long as we're on our way to life group. If you haven't figured it out, life groups in our community exist to reach those who are broken. It's not just a holy huddle Bible study. If that Bible study is not equipping you and empowering you to reach the lost, then we're really wasting our time. And that's why we're here. This is the sort of church, my brothers and sisters, and I say it time and time again, this is the sort of church where we want to see the believer activated in the call to ministry. It's there in Ephesians 4. He's called some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to the maturity in Christ, to find their maturity in Christ. You want to see somebody who's mature in Christ, they're activated in ministry. They're activated in ministering where they are, without a dog collar, without a theological degree. They're just activated. They're just called to be a witness where God has called them to be. In your office, let me ask you something. Do the people in the office that you are in right now know that you're a Christian? Do the people in your office know that you are there to represent Christ? And have you shared the gospel with any of your workmates? Real talk. That would be my challenge for those of you who are in this place that know Jesus. Take this week and pray for an opportunity. Ooh, I tell you, Jesus will give you an opportunity this week. He won't say, oh, I'll think about it next year. No, God is like, I've been waiting for you to pray that prayer. Oh, here you go. Trust me, tomorrow 9 a.m., there's going to be a guy at your sitting at your desk. Bro, weekend was rough, man. I had trouble with my wife, man. And you're going to have to learn to say those five words. Can I pray for you? If not you, who? You are Christ in that workplace. You are Christ on your campus, in your high school. We walk past the broken every day. Look at us. Verse 5, and he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He's still thinking, all right. I take MasterCard. I have an FBOS machine behind here. I'm ready to receive. He's like, but Peter, and many of you have memorized this verse, right? Peter says, I have no silver and gold, or the King James, silver and gold, I have none, right? How many of you grew up hearing that? Silver and gold hath I none, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I want you to notice this in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. See, real faith reaches out. It's not a matter of just preaching at them. It's a matter of reaching your body out, getting your hands dirty, going to where the broken are, rather than starting Bette Midler ministries and praying for them from a distance. God wants us to engage those who are broken, go to where they are. Sometimes it's going to take time out of your schedule. But Pastor Nelly, you don't understand, I'm a busy person. Then I would ask you, busy doing what? Does it count for eternity? No, then focus on what counts for eternity. This is going to change somebody's eternity. And if you are living for things that are not eternal, then I've got to ask you, what is your priority? God wants to shake us out of our slumber, church. He doesn't want us to be the sort of church that would sit idly by or just be a church that prays without being activated to be the answer that a lot of us are seeking in those prayers. A lot of times, if you listen really carefully to the answer to the prayers that you're praying, a lot of times, not all the time, but a huge percentage of the time, especially when it involves people within the proximity that you're praying for, you are the answer to your own prayer. You are the answer. Being God, you know, Lord, I pray for Alfred in my office. Lord, he needs to know you, Lord. I pray that somehow, some way, he would hear the gospel and God's like, your job. God's like, I've changed your life. I've transformed you. I've done all that you need for you to be empowered to preach the gospel. Just go in boldness. But I'm shy. Don't worry about it. I will, like I did with Jeremiah, I will touch your tongue and your lips with my words. Just show up. Show up and open your mouth. Just go. Okay, God, go. And you watch God move. Trust me. If you just show up and listen, God will give you some entryways to know how to bring the gospel into conversation. But I'm telling you, start with those five words. You should be always looking for opportunities. Don't be one of those guys, right? How many of you have colleagues at the office or friends that are like that guy that like be like, hey Jess, how you doing? And then walk past with before Jess even gives me the answer to how she's doing. Like I should stand here and ask my sister, Jess, how are you doing? Listen to her answer and then look for opportunity to minister to Jess. Like that's the way we should all walk. Like those are opportunities. When you ask somebody, how are you doing? Go like, Lord, help me to find an opportunity. If they say fine, then that's fine. You know, like you don't want to be the one. Don't be that guy too. Like, no, how are you really doing? Because in their mind, they'll be like, remind me to never, ever. I'm going to move my desk to the other side of Brisbane and never come around you again because you're a psycho. That's not healthy either. Like, if it's not the first time, God will open up opportunities. But just be willing to be the physical extension of God and just reach out. Watch this. The moment in verse 7 that he took him by the right hand and raised him up, immediately. See, it was when Peter reached out, that was the moment of the miracle. I want you to catch that. The miracle came. Obviously, God is the one who is the empowerer of the miracle, but the miracle came. God chose to execute the miracle at the time of the extension of the hand. God moves powerfully when we extend. God moves powerfully when we are activated to move. Yes, he can do it. In his sovereign will, he can do it on his own. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. We are the vessels. We are his hands. We are his feet. And until we go, until we reach out to those who are broken, we will completely miss these opportunities to tell people of God. Now, I realize that there may be people in here today that you don't know God like that. And let this be an opportunity. Let this be an opportunity for you to hear the gospel. God is reaching out to you today. And he's wanting to pull you out of your situation. See, there's a significance. He was sitting. It doesn't say this, but when you would beg at the gate, you would often take a cloak or a blanket with you. And that would be your source of identity. It would be like your Centrelink card that would, you know, give you the opportunities to receive certain benefits. So it's like you were licensed to beg. And so there was a cloak there. But the moment that he reached out and pulled him up, it was like a recognition that, no, this cloak is no longer my source of provision. But now the one who causes me to stand is the source of provision that I have now. There's a difference now, see? Some of us will be like, no, I don't want, you know, I want to trust. I know his name is Jehovah Jireh, but now I trust in Centrelink Jireh. Like, that doesn't even make sense, but you know what I'm saying. Like Centrelink is my provider. When God is like, I'm taking you out. But what else is it that, and I'm not just talking about financial provision. Some of us, it's the fulfillment that we're trying to seek in other things. We're trying to be fulfilled in relationships. We're trying to be fulfilled in our jobs, in the pursuits of our careers. God is saying, no, I'm wanting to reach out to you and pull you up out of that cloak. I was relying on that, what that cloak represents, your source of provision, your source of identity. Because remember, he was this way since birth. But the moment he stood up, it was like he was saying, that cloak does no longer represents my identity. That cloak represents my past. So he reaches out to him, pulls him up, and immediately his legs gain strength. Well, how does he respond? And this is good. How does he respond? Verse 8, and leaping up. Whoa. First of all, he was born lame. How does this brother know how to leap up? Like, he barely knows how to stand, but he leaps up. He stood up, began to walk, and then immediately he goes into the temple. There's powerful statements here, right? Like, firstly, when he gets his miracle, he leaps up. He doesn't just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, and go about his way. Like, there is a praise that rises up in you. Many of you remember I was talking about the counterweight. When you think about an elevator, right? When you go into an elevator, like the elevator we have here, you press your desired floor where you want to go, and there's a computer with a pulley that calculates the amount of weight that is required to be the counterweight so that your elevator car can go to the floor that you desire to go to. And so the counterweight pulls down and it pulls you up. So here's the thing. When we understand the power of the gospel and the weight that it helps to pull us down, that Jesus and the weight of what he's done coming down to earth to become our sacrifice for our sins, then we understand, well, there's an elevation that God brings us up into. He elevates us up and it causes us to, like Ephesians 2 says, we are now seated. We are now seated in heavenly places. There's a leap that comes on us when we understand the power of the gospel and what he's done in our lives. There's an innate leap in us. You can't be casual. You can't be casual about it. Church is not something that we, or even, I'm not talking about just the attendance of a Sunday service. I'm talking about being a part of the community of faith of God. It's an opportunity that we get to, we're privileged to receive. And once you understand that privilege, there's a leap that comes up in your spirit. Like, how can you not praise him? He's been too good to us. And leaping up, he stood up and began to walk. And immediately, watch this, he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Immediately, he goes to be with the people of God. He immediately goes to the temple. This brother knows where it's at. Because can you imagine, he is sitting at the gate called Beautiful, right? He's sitting there. He's like, oh, one day, I see all these people, 30 plus years, just walking past me. And they're going to worship God. One day, I know that God's going to set me free. One day, God's going to break these chains. One day, God's going to strengthen these legs. And I'm going to immediately walk and worship God in this temple. One day. So immediately, he knew what he was created to do. Immediately, when his strength was restored. Do you know, being fully strengthened, having heard the gospel, do you know innately what the response should be? To leap, firstly. When's the last time you lifted the roof off with your praise? When's the last time you just shouted to God because he's been so good to you? We'll shout for other things. We'll go like I did earlier this week and go watch a production at QPAC. And then when our favorite song comes on, I have nothing, nothing. Yes, you have nothing. And you'll shout, oh, it's awesome, great vocals, yeah. But when it comes to praising God, so subdued, so polite. Now, you know, I understand that it's not just about the way you worship, but is your heart leaping? Like some of us would prefer, like some of us may worship like this, you know, just a little bit more subdued, or not even lift our hands, but our heart is jumping, you know. But is your heart really jumping? I would venture to say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, right? And understanding that above, like Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, the above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. The way you live your life flows out of your heart. So whatever's in your heart causes you to want to shout, want to scream, want to jump. Do you find that place where you praise him with a leaping heart? What is your response to the gospel today? What is your response to all that he has done for us? Turn to somebody and encourage them today. Don't just step up, leap up. See, here's the thing. How many of you with a lifted hand will say, God has completely transformed my life, changed my life? Now, I want you to notice this. In the very next verse, in verse 9, all the people, say all the people. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Everybody saw this dude whom they had seen every day walking past that gate. Mr. Gate Guy. They saw him. Everybody saw him walking and praising God. Let me just ask you a question, okay? Let me just ask you. Does everybody around you see you walking and praising God? I'm not talking about going into your office going tomorrow, whoa, hallelujah, shaka bahandra. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about going into your office being psycho about the praise of God, but like, is it evident in your life that people see Jesus on you if you are a follower of Christ? Because everybody around this guy saw his praise, saw him walking out in his Christianity. Does everybody know? And I'm not talking about the fish sticker on your car, that Christians are perfect, but they're forgiven, or whatever your bumper sticker says. I'm talking about, it's more than that. It's more than what would Jesus do bracelet. Some of us wear that WWJD, it stands for what would Jesus do. And then on some other nights, it stands for we want Jack Daniels. I mean, come on. But I'm here to tell you, like, is your praise, is your Christianity visible? If there's something that I'm summing up today, is for the Christian, I'm telling you, and I'm asking you, is your Christianity visible? Can people see your Christianity? And for the people that are in here that do not know Christ, Christ reaches out to you today. It's more than just this brown guy speaking to you, okay? It's Jesus Christ himself reaching out to you and saying, get up off your mat and walk. Silver and gold you don't need. What you need, I have to give to you. Now rise up and walk. And he's challenging all of us. If you're still seated, requiring other things to be provisional for you, God wants you to know you'll never be fulfilled. You need to rise up and walk. Walk towards him. Like Charles was singing earlier, come to the altar. His arms are open wide to receive you. And for those of you who are in this place and you are already walking, is your walk visible? Can people see your walk today? Is it visible? I'm not talking about visible to other Christians around you, but I'm talking about the people who don't know Christ, who are seated at the gate called Beautiful. Can they see your Christianity? Have you reached out to them and extended your hand to pull them up? Can they see it? My prayer today is that we would all be activated in what God has for us in walking out in this life of being bold at the gate called Beautiful.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.